rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 3 minutes, please.
All right. You may begin.
May it please the Court, Stephen Forrester on behalf of the Commonwealth. Virginia Code 18.2-308.2 is clear and unambiguous. The language of the statute makes clear that the mandatory minimum terms of imprisonment prescribed for violations of this section shall be served consecutively with any other sentence. Any other sentence encompasses all other sentences. It encompasses multiple sentences for the same violation underneath the statute. In this case, it's uncontested, uncontroverted. There were two separate instances in which the defendant was in possession of a firearm. One was a muzzleloader, one was a shotgun. The policy behind the statute is to preclude felons or violent felons from being in possession of that firearm. And in this case, where there's multiple convictions underneath that same statute, it's mandated by the General Assembly that they run consecutively to one another. In this case, the trial court found that it did not have to run them consecutively, which was error. And there's no case directly on point that I was able to find, that I'm aware of, that deals with multiple sentences under 18.2-308.2 in this particular issue. However, when we looked at the case of Jefferson, Commonwealth versus Jefferson, the Brown case, and the Newsom case, we find that there is some guidance as to coming to the right decision in this case. And again, we have the Jefferson case, which found that there were six convictions for possession of child pornography, first offense. And in that case, this court held that there was no language in the statute mandating that those sentences be run consecutively. And in the conclusion of that opinion, the court said to conclude that they must run consecutively would render superfluous the language used in these other code sections by the General Assembly, such as the language I just talked about in 18.2-308.2. Similarly, in Brown, where the court was addressing 18.253.1, there the court made a distinction. The court said under that statute, the General Assembly stated that the mandatory minimum sentences prescribed for violations of the statute must be run consecutively with the primary felony. And that is distinct from what we have under 18.2-308.2, which is any other sentence. And so when we looked at Brown, the court said, had the General Assembly wanted to mandate that all sentences for violations under the statute be run consecutively, it could have said so. And it's the opposite of what is in the current statute, 18.2-308.2, which was that all mandatory minimum terms of imprisonment shall not be run concurrently, or stated the other way, shall be run consecutively with any other sentence.
This language is unique to this statute, is it not? We've got other statutes that impose mandatory minimums and use the consecutive concurrent distinction, but I think they all use different language, don't they?
There are several statutes that do. They do distinguish, such as 18.253.1 and 18.2-308.2, but going back to, again, the Jefferson case, and I believe that was 18.2-374.1, in 2013, the General Assembly amended that statute to include that language. I believe it is the same as what's in 18.2-308.2, which is that, you know, again, the mandatory minimums prescribed for violations of this statute shall be run consecutively with any other sentence. Well, I can't confirm that, as I noted on brief. It appears that that change in the statute was in response to the Jefferson case. And again, as we look to the Newsom case, which, again, is slightly distinguishable because this court was making a decision on whether or not it was a violation of 18.2-308.2, and that mandatory minimum had to be served consecutively with a possession with intent to distribute. It's under a different statute. But there, the court said, it is apparent that the General Assembly intended that the penalty for 18.2-308.2 cannot be diluted by running any of that time concurrently with any other sentence. So in this case, we have two separate convictions for two different instances in which the defendant possessed a firearm. The statute mandates that both of those mandatory minimum terms of imprisonment be served consecutively. And under 18.2-308.2, the Commonwealth would submit that it was error for the trial court to find that it had the discretion to do so and to run them concurrently, and that the case should be remanded to the trial court for resentencing.
You cited to the Newsom case. Newsom did not have
two convictions under 18.2-308.2, did it?
You're absolutely correct, Your Honor. And that's what I was trying to say earlier, is there's no case dealing with two convictions under 18.2-308.2. It's the first time that this has been presented. In that case, they were comparing it. I think the statutes were 18.2-308.4, possession with intent to distribute while in possession of a firearm, 18.2-248.1, possession with intent to distribute marijuana. So it was using that same language, but was determining whether or not there was a separate and distinct crime not under the same statute, whether or not those sentences had to be served consecutively. But there the court still came to the same conclusion that the mandatory minimums under the different statutes still had to be run consecutively. And so the Commonwealth, again, would submit that that was error, but asked this court to remand it to the trial court for a resentencing. And I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Phillips.
May it please the court. I'm Helen Phillips here on behalf of Sean Botkin, and I'm asking the court to affirm the decision of the circuit court. The Virginia Code section that controls in this case is 19.2-308, and it says when a person is convicted of two or more offenses, the sentences shall not run concurrently unless expressly ordered by the court. And I submit that that's the section that the trial court relied upon in rendering these sentences, and there is no decision that's opposed to that.
That is a general statute with regard to sentencing. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, ma'am.
And the portion of this particular statute is specific to this charge in terms of sentencing not being concurrent with any other charge. So wouldn't the specific prevail over the general statute?
I submit that it doesn't, because the way these cases that the Commonwealth has already cited have analyzed it, most all of them have looked at 19.2-308 and applied it to these specific mandatory minimum statutes, but it hasn't abrogated that. It hasn't overruled that in those particular circumstances, and there's not any authority to do it in this circumstance.
Well, I think to follow up on Judge O'Brien's question, a basic rule of statutory construction is that the specific statute takes precedence over the general statute.
But the law on the 308.2 has to do with the mandatory minimum, and there's no argument that, I mean, he gave 2 years. He gave the mandatory minimum. The issue is, does that bleed into the 19.2-308? Does that still apply? And as I was attempting to explain, you started out with the Mewberry case, and obviously I'm not going to argue 308.2 is ambiguous after that case. But the next year, the General Assembly enacted 18.2-12.1, where they defined mandatory minimum. And that has then been looked at, of course, in the Jefferson case, where it said that that's not the same thing as running it concurrent. I mean, that was pulled out, and again, that's the 19.2-308. We're not, you know, it's apples and oranges, I submit, based on the Jefferson decision. In the Supreme Court, then a month later in the Brown case, that again looked at 19.2-308, and the issue in that case was 18.2-53.1 and 18.2-12.1. And it essentially said that 18.2-12.1, the mandatory minimum statute, it doesn't trump 19.2-308. I mean, that was the rule in the Brown case that the Supreme Court decided, and that was the rule that the Circuit Court was aware of and cited in its decision in this case. And then we transition into Newsom, and in that case, that specifically went to the fact that there was a sentence that ran concurrent, and it was the 308.4 sentence that ran concurrent with the 308.2. But this case is totally unique because it's the 308.2, and there's nothing that precludes the court from doing it in this instance. And then also,
well, suppose he had been convicted of some other offense, possession with intent to distribute, or some other offense, would your argument be the same, that despite the language in 308.2, that this sentence could be run concurrent with some other sentence?
Judge Petty, with all due respect, that's not the case we have. I mean, I understand the court's question, and
I'm trying to determine whether this opinion turns on the fact that it's both offenses are a violation of 308.2, or whether the rule that you're propounding would also apply if there was a second conviction of some other offense.
It would be a different rule, because in 308.2 it talks about any other sentence. And if there's another sentence from another code section, that's what that means.
So you're asking us to read with any other sentence for some other conviction. You're asking us to read this to mean that a second conviction under 308.2 is the only situation in which you could run the two sentences concurrent.
And that, yes, Your Honor, and that's consistent with the Supreme Court's decision in Brown, because those were sentences that there was use of a firearm and commission of a felony, and those could run concurrent. But then there were the felony convictions that it had to run consecutive to.
I mean, but that statute uses different language, doesn't it? That statute says can't run concurrent with the primary offense.
Correct. And as the court pointed out in the other argument, all these statutes are different, and that's wherein the confusion lies. And you have to go back to 19.2-308 to control. But the facts in this case
were... Why would you go back to 19.2-308? Because if that's the most general statute, and you have 53.1, 18.2-53.1 in Brown, right, and that's the one that says... that it shall be run consecutively with any punishment received for the commission of the primary felony, not just any other sentence, but in 18.2-308.2 shall be served consecutively with any other sentence. Why isn't that the most specific? Because it's saying any other sentence, including presumably anything under 18.2-308.2.
Because it's a sentence that's not that specific violation. And as I stated, that's what they were running those sentences concurrently in the Brown case and the Jefferson
Brown
case.
Brown was 53.1.
Right. But it's the same analysis that within and looking at the language. But you still have to reconcile 19.2-308 to this, and I submit this is the argument that the trial court looked at and decided. And the facts of this case were that there was another one of these 308.2 convictions in Bristol for the same weapon. And the court was aware of that. That was argued. And the court said it believed it had this option. And it took that into consideration because of that fact. I mean, that is the overriding set of facts in this particular case. I did not try that case, but that's what's concerning to me, that there was even a plea on that that same weapon. But be that as it may, that's wherein I see that the circuit court had the authority to do this, and I would ask the court to affirm that decision.
Thank you very much. Mr. Forrester? About 9 minutes left.
Okay.
You don't have to use it all.
Understood, Your Honor. A few brief points. Commonwealth agrees that 19.2-308.2 is the general statute that provides a trial court with the general discretion to sentence someone to consecutive or concurrent sentences. However, as we get to 18.2-308.2, it is a specific directive from the General Assembly which prescribes doing that. And as noted by the court in Newsom, when the General Assembly has directed that a mandatory minimum sentence not be run concurrently with any other sentence, it divests the trial court of that discretionary authority to do so. So, again, and this is canons of construction, the specific statute trumps a general statute. And so, again, the Commonwealth would still submit that it was error to run them consecutively because the trial court, although it believed it had that discretionary authority, certainly did not. And
you say it was error to run them consecutively.
Sorry, to run them concurrently. I apologize, Your Honor. Clarify that. Yes, error to run the sentences concurrently where the statute prescribes such a sentence. Further, to read any other sentence means any other sentence. To read into the statute,
I was just going to say, it sounds to me like we've glossed over the first rule of statutory construction, that when a statute is unambiguous, we apply the plain meaning of the statute.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's where I started, where this is an unambiguous statute. Any other sentence means any other sentence. There are multiple convictions. Each one carries its own sentence. That constitutes any other sentence, and that's why they have to run consecutively. And to take the position that it means any other sentence other than a sentence for the same, you're reading things into a statute that aren't there, and that just contradicts the clear rules of statutory construction. And with that, again, I would Commonwealth would ask this court to, there are no further questions, Commonwealth would ask this court to reverse or remand the case for resentencing. And
thank you very much. We'll greet counsel.